All right, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Media 1099 podcast. My name is Michael Durr, and I'm here with my co-host, Robert Husky, here to discuss freelancing strategy for content creators and entrepreneurs. Today's topic is a little bit more current events-based than usual. COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, is officially listed as a global pandemic, which will have ripple effects on the world economy and, of course, the freelance economy for quite a while. These last few days have been interesting, to say the least. New information is coming in each and every day, each and every hour, but for now, Robert and I thought, let's get ahead of this, decide to go in on our first reactions on what's going on and what to expect going forward. So we've got a couple sponsor ads coming up. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. Hang tight. We'll be back right after the break. All right. Welcome back, Media 1099 listeners. Thank you guys for sticking with us. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So, the world has a different feel to it today than it did just a week ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just kind of give me your first thoughts on what this kind of feels like to you.
So just to put like some reference on this, we're recording this the 13th, Friday. Trump just said it's a state of emergency. So that's kind of where we're at, because I feel things are changing pretty much every day, every week.
Yeah, we're getting new info constantly. Yeah, so it's technically not morning. It's 1:30 on our time now in the afternoon. But it just feels like a different vibe. I mean, if you compare it to, let's say, 2008, I mean, you were basically like a 7-year-old kid. I mean, I don't know.
I was a senior in high school.
Okay. Come on. Either way, you know, but like, you're just a little pup. You know, I was just barely out of college, in the sense of like, I didn't really know what was going on in the world. So this has a different feel to us. It's a little bit more unique, I think. But go ahead and just give me a sense of what you're feeling today than you weren't yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm pretty anxious, because I've been getting a lot of emails lately of, you know, hey, this is a fluid situation. Pretty much everything has been canceled for me through March, mid-April. I have like one event that's like near the end of April that they're like, it's a fluid situation, we'll keep you in the loop, which probably means it's not going to happen, because it's like a mass gathering, which are pretty much not okay right now, at least in California.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that schools in like LA County are closing down. My work at Cal State LA, like, they canceled all their sporting events, NCAA, all, like, mm-hmm. I just feel like everything is kind of grinding to a halt right now. And in the freelancer world, like, that's got to be rough, you know, because I'm feeling the pinch, and I feel like everybody else is going to, if not already.
Yeah, and first off, I just want to give a shout out, some sensitivity to people that are actually affected by the virus itself directly.
Yeah.
You know, that is first and foremost on our minds in terms of, you know, people's families, if, you know, health status, you know, people that have pre-existing conditions that are compromising their overall health. So they get this on top of it. That's certainly not a great situation. The mortality rate is significantly higher than viruses from the past. That being said, indirectly, the stuff that affects us from an economy standpoint, from a working standpoint, like anybody that is involved with events. We just came from a workshop, a sports photography workshop, and the vibe there was so much more positive, right? We were all like, you know, excited. We were motivated and inspired by everybody making great work, talking business, whatever. And then just a couple of days later, after we kind of left that bubble, it's like, oh my goodness, we start to see things like the stock market crash, you know, the biggest one since 1987. We start to see all the events, and I just have a list of them here. Like, so at this point in time, and this list may have continually grown, the NBA, MLB, NHL, NCAA, Masters, the Boston Marathon, NASCAR, even other events like Coachella and South by Southwest. Like, these are all just a list of things that I just wrote off the top of my head that have been either suspended or canceled, like, entirely. So anybody that is involved photography-wise, or let's say graphic design or whatever, you know, the people that, you know, take care of like the concession stands or whoever,
yep.
It impacts everybody. So this is a real tough position to be in. And I empathize and sympathize with a lot of freelancers. This is something that I've always been very passionate about in the last couple years, at least. So I shouldn't say always, but, you know, in the last couple years, I became very in tune to what can I do to make myself recession proof. And I know it's kind of like a cynical outlook on life to think like, okay, well, the recession is always going to come, so you have to be prepared for it. But yeah, no, I think like that sometimes. I think about like, well, what if you lose your job? What if you lose, you know, 70% of your client base? You know, what are you going to do? So to me, this isn't necessarily as a physical, physiological shock to the system, because I've kind of like been preparing for this type of stuff, and I've actually kind of gone through it before, but it doesn't mean it's any easier. There are tactics and strategies that you can implement financially to set yourself up well. But I hear you. Like the biggest part is just complete empathy. I understand exactly the fear that's going on in people. Not knowing when the next check's coming, you know, you're anticipating 15 jobs this month and now you have zero. And that's a tough position to be in.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty well prepared and, having like a safety net and kind of like, you know, savings set aside for situations like this, because, you know, that's the life of a freelancer. But right now it's like late March, April, May are like kind of the busiest times for me. So it's like a kick in the shins where it's just like, oh man, this is like really like, it just affects kind of the bottom line, you know? And then it's interesting because I was looking at buying some new gear because through the workshop, I had some hands on some stuff and it's like, oh, this looks really good. And it's like, oh, that's definitely on pause. Like everything kind of just has to take a back seat right now. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, that's like, I'm just one person in this whole economy, but I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way and just worried about paying their rent or, you know, going out to I went to Target today and there was like no toilet paper, which is kind of weird because it shows like kind of a herd mentality and like kind of a little bit of panic. But I think it's just people are starting to wake up a little bit to like the bad news of like, yeah, it's not just like a hiccup. Like this is going to take a couple months to get things back into the shape that they're going to be, just because it's people interacting with people is how the disease spreads. And as a freelancer, as you know, like we're both kind of photographers, so we go out and we cover events, and if all the events are being canceled, you know, that's just a ripple effect through our economy.
Yeah. I think from a virus standpoint, yes, this could be resolved in a few months, or it could be shorter, or it could be longer. The other effect economically, not only the economy itself, but then everyone's personal economy, kind of like their personal finances, that could be an even longer climb back up. I mean, if you talk about like, if you lost like one of those poor people that lost 80% of their 401k or something along those lines, and you were just about to go into retirement, I mean, that's just shitty timing. That's just, there's nothing to, it's just bad timing. It's really bad luck. What that does is that would take one, if you're about to go into retirement, you don't have much time to really put into that and get that back. But even if you were, let's say 45 and you lost, you know, $50,000 in your 401k, to get that back is going to require years of really high growth in the market. So it's sure, this could be resolved in a few months, but to get that money back could take years. And then the other side of it is the mentality, your attitude towards money, opportunity, investing. That could take even longer. That could last you a lifetime. Because if you're 45, you've already gone through 2008, and now you're going through this. Now, I'm not saying that this is, I'm not trying to be an alarmist saying like this is, you know, the worst thing of all time. It's just that everybody's responds a little bit differently. Everybody's situations are a little bit different financially. Mm-hmm. And so if that does happen to somebody that has already gone through it in 2008, it's going through something now and they're kind of freaking out. Like their attitude, their perception towards jobs and work and, you know, opportunity and money and investing, they may change completely. They may never get back to somebody that makes investing strategies or they're just very conservative or whatever. They can just alter that completely. So I'm always interested in how this kind of has that ripple effect, not only from a direct personal finance standpoint, but then your attitude going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's that attitude of kind of like that scarce mentality.
Exactly.
Is going to just keep this. I mean, I think we're going to go into a recession just because of the that are not happening. You know, like it's a lot of money that's being left out. And then because of that, people are going to be scared to put money or spend money on things. And especially just, you know, going out, like a lot of places, like my wife's company is testing out work from home, you know, and a lot of my friends are actually doing that as well. And so, you know, you're not spending on gas. You aren't going to movie theaters. You aren't just putting money into going out because you have to stay home or you're really encouraged to stay home. So I think it's just going to take a longer kind of climb out from where we currently are or what we've been used to in the last, you know, 5-8 years to get the ball rolling back again to recover from this. And yeah, I do. I mean, I feel for people that are kind of at that age where they're about to retire, or thinking about it, because yeah, it's like what the market's dropped 20%. So that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
I mean, but kind of like to be selfish and on the bright side, like, you know, I'm 30, 40 years out from that. So this might be a decent time, depending on where the market goes, to, if I have extra cash to, you know, to maybe buy in and maybe make a little profit, which is, you know, it's like never, you don't want to capitalize on like people's misery, but that's kind of capitalism sometimes.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, taking advantage of what's provided to you right now. It's not like you are rooting for people to lose their homes, you know, like that's a completely different situation there. You follow the stock market a lot closer than I do. There's just a lot going on here. So like, I just read this article where it said like the average person in the United States is losing about $16,000 as of like Monday's close from their retirements and their portfolios. What do you feel like, you know, what have you started to notice, you know, kind of the ebbs and flows of this as you've, you know, been monitoring the last just few days?
I mean, yeah, I think panic has taken over a little bit and it's going to be a little bit choppy today. I was watching it side by side with Trump's emergency situation speech, and surprisingly the stocks like shot up. I mean, I'm definitely no pro and like you shouldn't take advice from somebody over the internet, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, I just have been watching things slowly turn down into the red, and I think things are going to continue that way. You know, I think the volatility is going to continue to go up and down, so you'll see really bad days and then followed by good days, and then it's just going to followed by another bad day. So I think from what I've listened to, it's like people that are professional stock market traders are having, or like day traders are having good days. But like for long-term people, a lot of people are just staying on the sidelines because everyone's unsure of, you know, is this the new low or how low is it going to keep going? So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to keep going down for a little bit. That's my two cents, just because people aren't going to be spending money and we're going to go into this recession that we haven't been in for 10 years, 10, 11 years.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so much of this is fear-based. It's more, I don't want to say it's like all in people's heads, of course, you know, like there are direct causalities here, but the indirect standpoint of like just your attitude towards everything can change the stock market, right? Yeah. Trump just makes a speech and all of a sudden it, you know, after like the single worst drop since 1987, like the stock climbs up on Friday, you know, just minutes after the, you know, presentation. So, you know, a lot of that is just kind of like the faith that people have in like whatever is going to happen. And, you know, is business going to be as usual, or are people going to compound on this, you know, fear? Like I just remember in 2008 and I had no idea what was actually going on. I had no real insight into what happened. I just wasn't really interested in that stuff at that time. People were just blame everything on the economy. Like, oh, it's the economy. And so it just kind of like compounded and had this ripple effect everywhere. So people would be like afraid of everything.
Yeah. And, you know, and also, you know, we're kind of in this stage in the media where, you know, it's minute by minute, everything's getting updated all the time. And it's hard to turn away from a screen, especially if you're home working on the internet, you have Twitter, Instagram, YouTube on, you know, on your monitor, where I think maybe 10 years ago, it wasn't the case as much, you know, it was barely starting up. It was like the 24-hour news cycle. And now it's like every minute somebody has an opinion, something's going on. And it kind of just re-floods the atmosphere with fear, or like things are better, things are worse, you know, and it's just like things don't change that quickly, you know, it but like feels, it has it, to constantly be
yeah,
updated.
It just feels different. I think it feels more historic, like uniquely historic in this way. I mean, like Disneyland, Disney World, they're closing. Like they only done that like on very specific occasions. You know, all the things that I listed off beforehand, like the NBA, I've never seen this stuff before.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's kind of weird living through these times, you know, because, yeah, like I think Disney World's only been closed for like, or Disneyland was like 9/11.
Yeah.
And like, you know, someone's assassination. And it's just like,
yeah, JFK. Like you know, it really is like, you know, just a small list of times. Every other time that I've seen like a shortened season for let's say baseball or basketball or whatever, is usually been some sort of collective bargaining agreement, some sort of like, you know, strike where, you know, they just can't negotiate the rates or whatever. This is just unique. Never seen a professional basketball team take the floor and then immediately be escorted to the locker rooms before tip off.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. So, I mean, and then the season was, you know, suspended immediately within the next half an hour or 45 minutes. That's unusual to me. And we know, obviously, a lot of people that are impacted by this, because since we're, you know, photographers, we know a lot of people in the sports photography world and just the event photography, journalism in itself. You know, sports and events take a lot of, you know, those require photographers. You know, you need people there to cover the event. And so everybody's freelancing position can be compromised if you are heavily in that circle.
Yeah, no, I said earlier, like all my stuff through at least the end of April has just been canceled. And it's hard waking up to new emails of like, hey, we're sorry to inform you, you know, and it's like, oh, like it just keeps getting put, the dates keep getting pushed further and further back. And yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough, especially in, you know, areas like where spring training is held in, like Arizona, you know, or like in the Grapefruit League, where like that's a big industry for a lot of people and for like a short amount of time. And all of a sudden it's just, okay, like it's done, you know, mm-hmm. like all the little, like we said, ripple effects of that is just going to be pushing off. Cause yeah, I do think the people that work in concessions and kind of like parking lot attendants, like that's going to be rough. I've been following a couple friends on Twitter that are just like, hey, like what am I going to be doing for the next month or so, you know? And it's just,
sure. Yeah. And it's, well, just, I mean, I guess that's that's a good kind of like, you know, transition into that next phase of like, what do you do? And it's hard to be a business consultant to everybody since it's not a one size fits all situation here. But what would you do? What would you say to somebody that's just kind of lost, you know, a bulk of their clients? Are there any tips that you have to navigate this next, you know, and we don't even know how long it's going to be. It could be a month, could be 3 months, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I hope they've had, you know, like some sort of safety net, you know, or savings that's, you know, that 3 to 6 month buffer. You know, mm-hmm. this is like why we've been preaching this in earlier episodes, because you never know when it's going to come out. It could be, we've always talked about, you know, a car or an injury, and now it's like a national pandemic. So hopefully that's in place. I mean, right now I'm going to work on archiving all my backlog of stuff and then mm-hmm. updating my portfolio website. Read, I guess, some like business and consulting books, you know, just try to like keep some type of
education.
Yeah. Just like, okay, how, if I've been short on time, like how would I want to invest my time?
You know, yeah. Because I think that's a great way to look at it. You know, anytime that you have time is always scarce for everybody. And yeah. It's weird, even if for somebody that works, you know, as a self-employed person like myself, where yes, technically I have a lot more time than other people. You're also very conscious of, not everybody, but I think I'm very conscious of how I want to spend my time. And so, yeah, I have kind of time management strategies myself. I'm like, you know, what am I going to use? When am I going to use this for studying? When am I going to use this for, you know, prospecting and so forth? I do want to just kind of stay on the financial side just for a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we've been, you know, we've been proponents for this for quite a while since we started the podcast. Emergency funds are really huge, I think, for both of us. And if you can get 3 to 6 months, I mean, that's exactly the kind of buffer that you might need. And it seems hard to build that up. And I know the natural area of concern is like, well, how am I supposed to build up an emergency fund when I have all this other stuff that I have to pay for? But if you prioritize that and you prioritize building up a 3 to 6 month buffer, and this is mainly just to cover your fixed expenses. I want to clarify that. It's not like your wants, right?
Yeah.
And or your variable expenses, which is dependent. Like if you drive a lot, you know, your gas may go up and down depending on how much you eat, you know, so forth. You're just your fixed expenses. So your rent, your mortgage, your insurances, that type of stuff, your utilities. If you can prioritize building that up, you know, that's huge. I would focus on that And then, you know, the other aspects that I think are really huge would be killing off debt as best you can, especially high interest debt. Mm-hmm. Because when you lose a job, when you lose 40% of your client income, the thing that's going to rob you, like, secretly, is not only are you not bringing income in, but you're being robbed of, like, you know, a little bit of a small little hole in your life raft where $100 is being taken out for interest, you know, like,
yeah.
This is something maybe more in preparation for some sort of like financial crisis. And I don't know if, you know, the president said that we weren't in a financial crisis, and now it seems counter to that. And I'm not going to get in political about this. I'm just saying, like, this is all better off done preventatively, as opposed to now we're in the shit and now we start doing this. It's like, yes, you can try attacking your debt as aggressively as possible. But generally speaking, when things were going well, that would have been the time to attack your debts, especially your high interest ones, build your emergency funds, and then kind of use that emergency fund in a lot of ways as like a salary for when you have lean months. I would say those are a few things right off the bat that I'm not sure if that helps anybody now, but these are the defensive strategies that I've been putting into place for the last couple years,
yeah.
Just because I know what it's like to lose $40,000 worth of client base income in a short period of time, which is exactly what we might be facing now. We might see a lot of people get laid off, you know? So this is just, you know, there's no easy way to handle it when it happens. And this may be after the fact, but I just want people to know that these are really proactive measures to help yourself for situations like this going forward.
Yeah. And kind of this, I mean, try to find some silver lining in this, is this might be a good time to run kind of like a data experiment on if you're, you know, like either if you're self-quarantined or you've lost a lot of freelance gigs, like this might be a good time to look at your stats of what you're spending on unnecessary food, you know, those like,
yeah,
gas station, exactly. Pit stops where you're buying, you know, right. Snacks and jerky and Red Bull. Like this might be a time where, like, oh, okay, like really how stoic could I be? How, like, not mm-hmm. how slim can I kind of like make my grocery list of not going out, not eating?
Audit your expenses.
Exactly. And this might be a good time to have, if you have that extra time, to really like take a step back and look at it and be like, oh, I do kind of, every time I fill up my tank, you know, buy $5-$10 worth of snacks, or those late night meals where, you know, after you
cover
an event that ends at midnight, you're like, yeah, dude, let's go grab some In-N-Out or let's go get some fast food. This might be a time to kind of look at that and be like, oh, wow, this really has cut into my income or profit of just unnecessary expenses.
Yeah. You know? And it's the tricky part is, like, you know, we want people to start saving and not spending money, but then that's exactly the opposite of what like the government kind of
want.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, you want to reinvigorate the economy by spending more money. And I think that's why if I started to see this coming a little bit, I didn't expect the coronavirus to have quite this type of impact, mm-hmm. Because I was ignorant to it. I didn't really know as of 12 days ago, really, the severity of it. But you know, you could start to see it just a couple weeks ago when, like, you know, the Federal Reserve was like slashing interest rates. I think that mm-hmm. had, you know, like this little notion of, okay, the economy's kind of starting to slip a little bit, and they're just starting to kind of create artificial ways of investing into the market. And so I'm not necessarily sure if that's the best way to go about it either. I mean, I think it can work, I suppose, in the sense of, well, people take out low interest rate loans and then they invest into their business and they invest and start scaling, and maybe that helps out. I'm a little bit more defensive on that side. I would probably still avoid that for myself, but I'm not necessarily a financial advisor. So, but you know, yeah, I think if you can audit your expenses and really kind of differentiate, this is a need, this is a want, right? And just kind of eliminate some of those wants, because, you know, at some point, you know, if you lose a good chunk of your income that you normally rely on, from a certain cash flow standpoint, from just a total profit standpoint, that's going to hurt you paying the stuff that really requires actual money,
yeah.
Like your rent or mortgage. Like, they're going to need that money, and that bill comes due every month.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of tough sledding. I mean, because I think the Federal Reserve and like the interest rates, you know, that's going to affect kind of the big corporations, people that have access to the banks, you know, have those kind of connections, where I feel like everyday kind of freelancers, content creators don't necessarily have that skill set or those connections. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do believe that also, like, you know, when you're getting emails that like you're having a mandatory vacation for the next month or so, it's not the time when people are going to be thinking of, you know, updating or expanding their market share or their business. You know, this is the time when people like are going to have that scarcity mindset of like, no, I just need to survive, which is like totally understandable. I mean, I kind of feel that way myself, where I'm just like, okay, like time to, like I said earlier, like time to really shut stuff down and like not buy any new gear, even though that was on the horizon. I've saved up for it just because I don't know how long this mandatory vacation is going to last.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This is always a real strong, this is a really hard balance for me. I kind of approach this in two different ways. I mean, like, it's this defensive offensive mindset version of how you use your business and your finances. You know, businesses that tend to try to control their profit margins by limiting their expenses tend to be very conservative, and they really don't think of a whole lot of growth. They're just like, okay, what can we cut? What can we cut? You know, and that's basically what a lot of us are doing right now, which can keep you afloat. But at some point, you need to gravitate out of that mindset as well and start to think about like how we look at the opportunities of where it would be time for you to invest. Maybe not necessarily literally investing, but like investing into opportunities, you know. And yeah, I just think that there's this kind of scale that's always in front of you of like, you know, should I be doubling down on something now, or should I be really penny pinching everything? I don't think there's a one size fits all answer on that. It's always kind of be in flux, in balance.
Yeah. And kind of going back a little bit to what I was saying earlier, of this might be a time to really invest in yourself in either online classes, you know, reading, YouTube videos, is trying to build a schedule that is kind of repetitive in a sense, where you're not waking up and just dilly-dallying throughout the day of like, oh, okay, I'll have some coffee, peruse the internet, and then like three hours have gotten by and you haven't done anything productive. I know I struggle with that, you know, and trying to get something down on paper of like, no, okay, like, look, I'm going to be home, so I should be doing this marketing research SEO book, and I got to get an hour in, because otherwise, if I don't have something written down for me, I'm just like, oh yeah, like I'll check Twitter, and then it's 10 minutes on YouTube, which turns into 30 minutes, which turns into half the day, and I'm like, oh, it's lunchtime, you know, and then like this opportunity of having time put into your hands has slipped away. And like that, as well as paychecks, is kind of a double whammy of not using this time valuable.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I would view it, I know it's hard to, because we all might be at a heightened scarce mindset a level at this moment, but view it as an opportunity. So let's just say, yes, okay, we're going to be a month and a half or 2 months without freelancing income, the same rate that you normally would. You can view this in a couple of different ways. You can view it as like, oh shit, my life sucks. And you know, it's, you know, Obama's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's like the government, like whatever, it's China's fault. You know, you can have those mindsets if you want to. I would just ask yourself, like, how's that working out for you? You know, like, you know, at the end of this time frame, if 2 months goes by and you've just been sitting on your couch and you didn't use that opportunity to do anything, that's a real shame. I know it, you give yourself a day, give yourself a week if you want to, like, you know, to be down in the dumps and, you know, say, woe is me. I don't mind. I'm not going to judge you for that. But, you know, after a certain point, you're going to have to figure something out where it's like, I've had this opportunity. You've been talking about, especially people that have had full-time jobs for a long time. And if they get laid off, it's like, you know, before that, they were always saying, I don't have enough time. Don't have enough time. Even freelancers too, if they have multiple kind of side jobs, you kind of have like this kind of hybrid of having a job and then doing freelancing as well. It's one of those things that you're always short on, right? Time.
Yep.
And so when you get it, what are you going to do with it? Now, I'm not telling you what to do with it. You know, like I'm not telling people what to do with their time, but like, you know, there are productive options, and you're going to define that yourself. You know, if somebody says like, no, I fully believe that, you know, watching 12 hours of Netflix each day is productive for me. Like, okay, I'm not going to argue you.
Yeah.
That's your definition.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, like, it's just, I'm a very routine based person. Like, we just came back from this workshop and like my sleeping routine is all out of the place. I'm trying to get back into it. And I'm just like, oh man, I would be hesitant to say like, give yourself a week or so, just because like, that's my personality of like, oh, if I get a week, then it's harder to like bend that curve back to being really productive. You know, it's just like, let's just hop right into it. Yeah. Let's just cannonball into making this day.
I've been self-employed for like 5 years now, and I still find it hard to manage time.
Yeah, because it's just like, because you're your own boss, right? And especially now in this time when, you know, if you have been working a 9-to-5, maybe you're working from home, like you don't have someone overlooking your shoulder. You don't have, and it might be a blessing in disguise, because now you don't have that half an hour commute both ways where, you know, maybe you could use that time to just up your skills, get yourself in a better position moving forward once this kind of corona thing passes, because it eventually will. And I do think that it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. You know, just the amount of cases, kind of this news scares that's going on. Like, I do think it, in my opinion, and I'm not a health official or anything, but like, I do think the numbers are going to get worse, and things are kind of going to get locked down a little bit more before they get better.
I think you're probably right about that. I would, if I were to give advice to people about how they, you know, reinvest this time, this newfound time, I would ask yourself this one question. And it's a fill in the blank. So you would say to yourself, if I were only better at blank, my business would go to the next level. Okay. So whatever that is, whether it's learning tax codes, whether it's, you know, networking, whether it's understanding contracts, whether it's, you know, marketing to, you know, your leads, whatever it is, your social media, whatever that answer is, you're going to define that yourself. That's what you should be focusing on.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and definitely, I know you're a big double down on what you're good at, you know, but this might also be a good time to kind of see where your weaknesses are that are things that take a lot of time to kind of get the ball rolling.
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
And just like, all right, like, let's grind it out. Let's make a 3-hour, 4-hour investment into this journey of, yeah, for me, it'd be networking and kind of, I always feel like knowing your taxes and business, like LLCs and things of that nature is always valuable. And it's a pain to get the ball rolling on reading about that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this might be the time where you're just like, okay, it's midday, you know, and let's just get the ball going.
Yeah, it might be like, and I have no problems with people working on stuff that they suck at. Like, I try to do that all as much as I can. I think it's important to know what you're strong at, and so that when the opportunity is there, you can double down on it. But yeah, like, absolutely. If you know nothing about majority of business, pick one thing, you know, pick that one thing that's like, okay, I would feel so much more confident in my business going forward if I just knew this better. Well, if you got 2 weeks, I'm just saying, you can Google everything. You can YouTube just about anything. Now, some stuff you're going to have to weed through the bullshit. You know, some people are just out there just talking shit. But you can probably find a lot of valuable information, and you can work on that. You can work on, you know, your finances. You can work on, you know, marketing. And if I had to say one thing, when we were just at the workshop ourselves, at the very end of the workshop, the faculty kind of stood up at the front of the room and took questions from people, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it was. So you could ask them like, hey, what was your favorite sport to shoot? You could ask whatever. And a lot of the questions were kind of business oriented, not really quite directly, but sort of. Mm-hmm. And I remember there were a lot of opinions and responses on portfolio, which I don't think were wrong. I think all of those answers are actually pretty accurate. What concerned me was more the focus of the questions, how they were solely on portfolio.
Yeah.
And here's my whole issue and my whole beef with that. If there's anything we learned from James Patrick, whatever I learned from reading books this past year, is that stuff like portfolio falls to me in the same realm of social media, in that it's very reactive. It's a reactive device. Mm-hmm. So meaning you're just putting stuff out there. You're spending a lot of time on working on your portfolio and assuming someone's going to find you. So it is really valuable to have a good portfolio. Never stop working on that. But the amount of effort that you put into it, just think about, like, wouldn't it be better to focus on reaching out to clients or reaching out to leads? Now, you don't have to go flipping it the entire which way, but if you're going 100% portfolio, think about splitting that up. Do 30% portfolio, do 70% action. To me, it's the same thing. Like, if you're just working out at the gym and you get a fresh set of clothes and you style your hair and you get a tan or whatever, and you just assume that all the single ladies are going to come up to you and ask for your phone number. Like, that doesn't work that way. It may work for some people, but it doesn't really for the most of us. What's going to work better is you going up to somebody and starting a dialogue. That's proactive.
Yeah. And actually right now might be a good time to kind of do that, because a lot of people that are hiring freelancers or content creators are kind of in this limbo area where, you know, they're not going to be talking to their people for a couple of months. Like, this might be a good time to get on the phone, cold call people, because they're not, their event schedule and their timing has kind of probably diminished a little bit. So they have a little bit more free time on their hands, where you could start making those conversations like, oh, hey, so what are you looking for? What are your needs? You know, and they have time to actually give you some feedback, and you can make a more impactful impression on them, rather than them like having to deal with their normal day to day and just like, okay, yeah, it was nice talking to you, and just they're trying to get off the phone, you know. So this might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think it should be used, or it can be used as both. Like, so if you want to work on your archiving, you want to work on your portfolio, cool. But also don't forget to like do the proactive stuff. Cold email, phone call, you know, follow-ups, thank you cards, get your face in front of somebody else's face, you know. And it's tough when you're mentally like shaken and you're down in the dumps. It's hard to have that confidence. So I get that aspect, but I just want people to kind of recognize that, like, you know, certain activities are rather reactive and some are proactive. So, I mean, James Patrick, thank you. Kudos to him for kind of really nailing that in my head. The books that I read last year, I mean, it's no secret, but that is, you know, one of my 2020 kind of themes for the year is just being proactive. So I recognize, like, okay, if everybody's focused in on like, well, I just need to make my portfolio better, I need to like get this LinkedIn page looking better, it's like, okay, yeah, but without the follow-up, it's really not worth anything at all to me.
Yeah.
So like, to me, it's like, yeah, if you're going to do that, cool. Just don't forget to also do the other stuff. Don't forget to call them up and email them and send your pitches to them. Send print promo if you have it. You know, like all that shit, I think that's going to go a lot farther. That's going to be better than just standing in the corner of the club, dressed looking good and everything like that, and assuming everyone's going to flock to you. I don't think that works, you know, unless you're just, especially for guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know, that's just kind of how I think everybody should have that mindset of like, okay, yes, this is cool, I'm going to work on this, but I also got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of one of my last points on this is that, like, as a freelancer, we're kind of all in this together. Like, everybody's getting those emails, getting those phone calls, seeing the message boards of like events getting canceled. You know, this would be a good time to kind of talk with other freelancers, know that you're not in it alone, even though it might only be your bottom line, but everybody is kind of going through the same thing right now. And on that note, also, like, feel free to, you know, reach out to us with kind of what's your situation, because out here in California, it might be different than in New York or Texas, middle of the country, you know. And I think the more awareness that all the freelancers have of everybody's situation, you know, it kind of, it's that group, a group is stronger than one individual, you know, and knowing that everybody's kind of in this situation together can kind of help us get through this, because it is going to pass, you know. And don't be too hyped on the current headlines and what's just posted on Twitter, because in this minute second news cycle, you know, like, there's going to be a lot of false information or misguided information. And just kind of, you know, just relax, take a deep breath. Hopefully, you know, you have some safety net kind of in place, and then we could ride this out together. You know, that's kind of my 2 cents on this whole coronavirus situation moving forward, because it is very fluid, you know, and every week we're going to have different headlines every day, actually. And who knows what it's going to be in 2 weeks, you know? So hopefully we're overreacting right now, and hopefully, you know, the gears get moving again. But if not, know that you're not in this alone.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good kind of area to wrap up on. I'll kind of echo the same things. You know, misery does love company. So don't just, you know, keep everybody else miserable. Try to inspire each other. You know, if you have a way of like, hey guys, like I'm figuring out some way to, like, you know, now that I have this time to like build some sort of passive income, I'm trying to figure out a way to, like, you know, diversify. We didn't really talk about diversification, but that's really important. So if you want to diversify instead of out of, you know, just your event business, that now might be a good time to really kind of dig deep on something like that and see if you can get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And just kind of lift everybody else up. You know, that's where this community comes into play. So if you can do that, I think you're going to be in great position. And then also wash your hands. Don't be an idiot at the grocery stores. You know, you don't have to buy like 600, you know, eggs and take away everybody's toilet paper. But, you know, just, you know, do the best you can. And I think everybody's going to be, you know, certainly if there's a silver lining to this, part of the reason why I think freelancing is so incredible in terms of what its opportunity has given me is the financial and discipline and awareness, as well as just understanding of how I want to construct my business, my scope. So if I think that this has the opportunity to give somebody that insight and to say, oh, you know what, how do I not go through this again? You know, how do I prepare myself for if this ever does happen again? Mm-hmm. That's a silver lining. Now, I hope it doesn't adversely affect anybody too much where they lose, you know, 20 years of investing into their 401k and it's all gone. I hope that stuff doesn't happen. I hope people don't lose their jobs, but I know the reality is that this could. And if you need any help, you know, just stay tuned with us, you know, and keep in touch with your fellow creatives and entrepreneurs and business owners, because I think they can help you out maybe more so than, you know, your parents or your family probably can. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today. If you guys have enjoyed the show, help us out by hitting a like and subscribe button on your favorite podcasting service. And if you're feeling extra generous, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review on Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to this podcast. We're also excited that our newest platform, media1099.com, is up and running, where you can find all these episodes, blog posts, podcast notes, and so much more. I'm Robert Husky here with Michael Durr, and we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will catch you on the next episode.